This is Abbotsford Canucks Hockey on the home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650.
What a huge third period. The fourth spot on the best road team in the playoffs. We're about to lose their first away from home. And now a steal by Nielsen. He's on a breakaway all of a sudden. Nielsen deeks and he scores! Why not? Backhand, five hole. Stay on your feet, Canucks fans. Tristan Nielsen, how are you? What a move. 6-1.
The Abbotsford Canucks run the Checkers out of the building. A 6-1 victory. And the baby Canucks take a 2-1 series lead in the Calder Cup final. And this is the Canucks Central postgame show on Sportsnet 650. It's Satya Shaw and Dan Riccio. We're going to be joined by Brandon Astle and Landon Ferraro for a postgame roundtable. A scintillating performance by the Abbotsford Canucks at the Abbotsford Center here, Reach. And a 6-1 performance doesn't really explain how dominant this Abbotsford team was. You talk about a young team with enthusiasm, with talent, with some veterans, and a local boy coming up huge, Arshdeep Bain. 4 points, Linus Karlsson, 4 points, and maybe the biggest star in the building, Artur Shilov's rock star treatment, stellar between the pipes, and the Abbey Canucks reach only 2 wins away from taking a cup and bringing it home to Vancouver.
A national hero is Artur Shilov's already, and he's etching his name into Abbotsford Canucks history. The building chanted Artie's name several times, even on the PDG breakaway goal that he sprung for the primary assist. When it gets announced, a chant of Artie goes on here at Abbotsford Center. It was an incredible third period by this whole group, right? I mean, they really took over the game. They score 6 unanswered in total, 5 of them coming here in the third. And really, it's led by the top guys.
Yeah.
You know, that's what you love to see in a playoff game. That's what every team craves in a playoff series. Our top guys have got to beat their top guys. And who led the comeback and then the eventual win for the Canucks? Arshdeep Bains, Linus Karlsson, Max Sasson, Sammy Blais, the guys who have led this team in scoring pretty much all season long, were here in the biggest moment to help them take a 2-1 series lead.
And even Phil DiGiuseppe scored, bringing a massive smile to Dan Riccio's face here at the Abbotsford
Center. Did you see the crowd pop for Deej after the 4-1 goal? Unbelievable.
It certainly did.
Absolute snipe show on Kaapo Kähkönen.
Absolutely. And as always, the phone boards are open, 604-280-0650, or toll-free, 1-888-275-0650. We'll take your phone calls and your text messages to our Dunbar Lumber text inbox. 650-650. Like this one, Unsigned says, we are so back with the postgame show in June. Yes, we are. And the Canucks only 2 wins away from winning the Calder Cup. And you talk about players coming up in big performances, right? And throughout this postseason, Arshdeep Bains has been able to provide a lot of points. He's been, you know, a real solid contributor for them. His goal scoring's taking another notch here, right? Gets a goal here tonight. He's had, like, what, 5 now in his past 5 games. 4 points. And doesn't even encompass how dominant he was, how many board battles he won, how many puck battles he won. And, I mean, on the first goal, the only reason that goal happens on the Canucks' first goal is because Arshdeep Bains wins a battle for the puck after Max Sasson kind of just throws it into space. And every single time he was in a battle, it seemed like he came away with the puck. And the 4 points, full credit to Arshdeep Bains tonight.
Unbelievable performance from the Surrey kid. You know, he was unbelievable. And I know he was a little bit snake bit earlier in the playoffs, didn't have a goal for a while, and now he is just lighting up the score sheet and doing everything for this team on the PK, on the power play. I mean, he set up the go-ahead goal from his butt. I mean, he's sitting on the ice, makes a behind-the-back, off-the-seat-of-your-pants pass to Max Sasson, who eventually goes backdoor to Linus Karlsson. But none of it happens without the play that Arshdeep Bains makes to begin that whole sequence from the seat of his pants as he's laying on the ice. I mean, it was just an all-encompassing performance. And, you know, it's tantalizing because his vision and his knowledge of the game, his hockey IQ, the way he understands how to win board battles, how he understands leverage.
Yeah.
You know, those are things that are going to help him have a healthier NHL career. I know, you know, if you're looking at his season from a bigger picture, you'd have liked to see him do more at the NHL level with the opportunities there. but he's a star player on the Abbotsford Canucks right now and helping them to potentially a Calder Cup win.
Well, he already has been an AHL All-Star, and now he's coming up big in some of the biggest games. And, you know, Linus Karlsson, everything he's doing at this AHL level is the things that we saw at the NHL level, but he's far more dominant, obviously, here. And he's so good in front of the net. He's so good at finding the soft spaces, and he makes great nifty plays as well. Like, it's, you know, on that goal that you talked about, Linus Karlsson made a great play on it as well. Like, it's not just him scoring in front of the net. He's really good in tight spaces. Considering his frame, does a really good job of protecting the puck, making simple plays to his teammates. It just seems like in the offensive zone, for just a big, sturdy player that makes all the right plays.
One of the things that when we talked to Ryan Johnson, GM of this Abbotsford team, and Manny Malhotra, and I know fans and listeners, they hate hearing details and all those kinds of things. But what's making Karlsson, Baines, and Sasson and these guys so successful here at this level is their attention to detail, is these little moments of the game, these little areas. How do I find a little pocket of space? How do I win this puck back? It's these little details that have, you know, had this Abbotsford team punching above its weight all playoff long, have made them such a tough out, and now, you know, handing the Charlotte Checkers this first road loss of the playoffs for them. And Karlsson, I don't know what else there is to say about this kid. He showed it at the end of the season and continues to show it here that he looks NHL ready. He's been incredible, 11 goals now in the playoffs. It's going to be it's exciting to see what he can do to finish here and also carry that to training camp next year.
Now, absolutely. New West Nick says, great to see Baines, Karlsson, and Shelovs lead the way as they are the players the Canucks need to take the next step moving forward. Ty David, keep Shelovs, trade Demko and Salter crew. Shelovs is on fire. Hashtag Top Gun Maverick. So, I mean, I get the love for Shelovs, and he was spectacular again tonight. Made 28 saves. And not to take anything away from him, because he was fantastic, but I want to spend a moment to talk about how well this team defends in front of their goaltender as well, and how dialed in they are on their details. And obviously it's a hockey game. They're going to make some mistakes. Things are going to happen. And certainly in this game, there were a few moments, but you see it. And as soon as we watch the first 5 or 6 minutes of this game, you see how dialed in this team is on making all the right plays and how much they support one another. I mean, just a simple play like Kudryavtsev diving in at the blue line to try to keep a puck in. And you can see Baines is looking at him when he's at the top of the faceoff circle by the far wall, by the bench wall almost. And you can see he's looking at Kudryavtsev, seeing he's about to jump in, and he beelines it all the way up to cover for him. And just those little plays, they're so in-depth, they're so in-tune to what their teammates are doing and to cover for their teammates, that very seldom do you see breakdowns happen for them. And obviously they will from time to time. Brisebois gave the puck away, which led to those things will happen, right? Yeah. But as far as we're not going to be victimized because somebody didn't fulfill their responsibility. And for the most part, that's a pretty mature way to play for a young team.
Well, it's one of the things that allows you to have success, especially at this level.
Yeah.
You know, we hear coaches talk about it at the NHL level all the time. And to have it with such a young team relative to, you know, what Charlotte's trotting out there, some of the teams they've beaten along the way here through this Calder Cup run, that's what's impressive, is if you have a team playing such a structured and well-disciplined style, that's hard to do at the AHL level, especially with a young group. And it's one of the things that's been really impressive about, especially about the job that Manny Malhotra has done, but the buy-in that he's got from this group during this run.
Yeah, and I think when we talk about Manny, obviously he's great when it comes to the X's and O's and understanding how to play, but one thing that he keeps getting a lot of credit for is how great of a motivator he is.
Yeah.
And how good he has been in making adjustments for the team and also getting the guys fired up for games. And there's a real intensity to how Manny carries himself, and he's really brought that to the organization with the coaching staff and also with the players. And you see the team really respond to them in a real big way.
It really is. You know, the buy-in they've had, I mean, they play with just an unbelievable amount of togetherness. You know, there wasn't one scrum in front of Shelovs. If any Charlotte player wanted to get anywhere near the blue ice, he was going to have to answer for himself.
Yeah.
You know, and that was just a theme all night long, the physicality. And, you know, it clearly stems from the coaching staff and part of, you know, the togetherness of the entire team.
Well, the Abbey Canucks performance was only second to the performance by our play-by-play team for tonight's game. Brandon Aslow and Landon Ferraro calling a 6-1 victory over the Charlotte Checkers here at the Abbey Center. A 2-1 series lead in the Calder Cup final. Boys, I mean, you guys have been here for every single game. You've seen what the crowd has been like. Tonight popped. Like, this felt like an NHL playoff game almost in this building.
Yeah, I mean, what did you guys think? We have the headsets on. We can still hear it, obviously, and especially in the third period when Carlson got the game-winning goal and just kind of snowballed from there. You can really tell, like, the team fed off the crowd's energy. That's something that Manny has talked about all playoffs, and he wanted his team to get off to a better start. He was disappointed how it went in game two. Give credit to Charlotte back at Bojangles. Bojangles. They had the Canucks on their heels in both games for the first 5 to 7 minutes, and Manny wasn't happy. He said that in his post-game presser, and tonight the Canucks definitely found their stride, and I think the fans get a big round of applause for helping their team get off to that nice start.
And they did such a good job, the fans in the conference final, the last two games, showing up, filling up the stadium, making sure the guys hear them. You know, I talked about how, like, you could just feel the excitement. It almost felt like a pressure cooker just waiting to pop, and tonight was that pop. And you know, they've had some good parts to their game through one and two, but, you know, they just haven't been able to get their skating game going, their forecheck game. For Abbotsford, it's all about speed off the rush, and if that doesn't work, it's the second efforts all over the ice. And tonight, you saw it. Baines on the first goal doesn't fly by that battle, right? He stays right in. It gives Carlson a chance to make that beautiful backhand to Blay. The other one, he's sitting on his wallet down and right by the hash mark and able to find Sasson to make the next play. Like, for them, and I've said it before, but like, this team plays maybe some a bit nicer plays, not to throw a shot at Manny, but they play like Manny Malhotra wants and like he used to. It's second efforts all over the ice. It's no one bigger than the team. You see it at the end. They're up by a few, and yet everyone's getting in front to block shots. Like, you can just feel the togetherness, and it built and it popped tonight. It was awesome to see.
Baines has been, it was a little bit snake bit earlier in the playoffs, but now, you know, he has a huge night tonight with the 4 points. He's the first star. It kind of just felt like this has been coming, but what of a, couldn't do it on a bigger stage to come up and give the team and help the team to a 2-1 series lead.
Well, Dan, he did it in the last home game here in game six against Texas. He had a signature performance, had 2 goals, including a beautiful empty net where he just took out his loft wedge and floated over a defender's hand trying to keep it out, but it's just his effort that he brings to the table every single night. Like, he doesn't need to impact the game just on the box score. It's what he does away from the puck on the penalty kill. He literally makes his line mates better. And tonight, Manny put him, Carlson, and Sasson together. They had a nice little run in March, but then Carlson got called up on March 16th, or after the March 16th game. Didn't come back down until the late stage of the regular season. Same with Sasson. And so they get reunited here tonight, and you could tell they just got some great chemistry, and Carlson and Baines were the best two skaters on the ice. I mean, you can just see, like, they had it going tonight, and it starts with the effort. Winning 50-50s, that's what those two do best, and they were just all over the ice and in their own end as well, making some great plays, whether it's shot blocks or helping out the D, breaking out of the zone. Baines and Carlson are now the top two scorers in the playoffs.
And for Baines, like you mentioned, like, he goes 16 games to start the playoffs, no goals.
Yeah.
He's getting his shots, but at the same time, he still finds ways to be a productive member of the team, and then it starts to go for him. He's still making beautiful plays, and he's got such soft hands. You can see it where, you know, like, he has the patience to stand over a puck. He's not afraid to hold on to it for that extra second because he knows if he could just bait that Charlotte player, Texas last round in the last game, just bait him to take that one step out of position, he's going to find the hole. He made, you know, a couple unbelievable passes again tonight, but at the same time, you know, this Canuck team needed Carlson to find his game again. He had had 3 games, no points, ending the last series, starting the this series, and, you know, he knew he had more, the team knew he had more, but you know, they were struggling to get shots. They were struggling to stay in the offensive zone. Tonight, you can see why Carlson's had the year that he's had. He's had the playoff that he has. Well, now he's leading the AHL in points. Like, off that first one, when he picks up the puck off of Baines winning that battle, Like, he'd already shoulder checked. He knew that Sammy Blais was going down the far side. So now he doesn't have to do the extra work. He doesn't have to waste that second. He rips that backhand over to him. On the other goals, like, he just finds a way to get himself involved again. It looked like his skating picked up a little bit. Maybe he was a little bit tired for a few games, but he found a little bit more energy. And I mean, those two blew up tonight, and it was awesome to watch.
Yeah, it was great to see their offensive performance. And it's interesting because if those guys didn't explode the way they did, especially in the third, I could have made a compelling case for Max Sasson being one of the three stars in this game. His speed causes so many fits, and it seems like he gets under the opponent's skin because he always beats guys to the puck. He comes away with it as well. The level of intensity that he's played with is really palpable.
Well, I mean, he's got the extra guard on his face with the absolutely massive beard he's got going. Just good for him. But, again, he's someone that he uses his speed. We saw it in Vancouver. His first point was flying down the right wing. He does that stop up and finds the trailer. Well, he does that all over the place here as well. Like,
yeah.
And I remember talking to you guys in a post game there. Like, that's one of the reasons that he's a very good player, not just at this level. Like, he's starting to show that he can do it at the top because it's he doesn't have to change his game. His game is speed. It's effort. And getting to the hard areas of the ice, he's not afraid to get his nose in there. And, you know, again, he's a big part of that line that is, you know, a main reason why they win tonight.
Yeah, and I've said it time and time again, he's one of the best skaters in the organization, obviously after Quinn Hughes. And an NHL lineup, any lineup can use that type of speed because it is such a weapon. And the one thing that I probably bring up every broadcast, like, the power plays want to do the old drop pass and all that through the neutral zone. Max will just take it by himself, wheel it in the offensive zone, and set it up. And, like, if he could just make things easier like that, it goes a long way. Although sometimes they may not score on the power play, it's all about getting an opportunity to set up and maybe get some momentum off it. So, and this is a guy that has really worked on his defensive game as well. You guys see, like, he's out there taking faceoffs at the end of the game, whereas last year or his rookie season, that wasn't really the case. And he knows he has to be a 200-foot player if he wants to be a full-time NHLer. He'll always have the skill and the speed, and the fact that he's really taken his defensive play seriously, I think is going to give him a really good shot to become that full-time NHLer because he has all the tools right now.
I really love the physicality of the game tonight, too. It feels like, you know, both teams are kind of into it now after a couple of games in Charlotte. They're getting to know each other, and it really stems from Sammy Blais, doesn't it? I mean, the only name that was chanted more than Sammy here tonight at the Abbotsford Center was Artie, because Sammy is like, he is a local legend with the pestiness that he brings to this group, and he's just constantly getting under the skin, whether it's chirping from the bench or on the ice. I mean, he kind of sets the tone for the rest of the team physically, especially with some of the extracurriculars we see after the whistle.
Yeah, he's got himself to 5 points in the Calder Cup final here through three games, and you know, he obviously clearly affects the score sheet in that sense, but he's also the one that every time you're on the ice, if you're on the opposing team, you have to know where he is. He's going to finish every single check. You know, he takes the worst of it sometimes. He goes to hit Lockwood right in front of the Charlotte bench and gets reverse hit, and he dropped pretty good.
Yeah.
Takes a second, goes down the tunnel, he comes back. What does he do first shift? He takes three more runs at guys. Like, there's no relent to him. He's always going to make sure he gets himself into the battle. And on top of it, you can see how his teammates kind of get their chest popped up a little bit more when he's doing his thing because they know he's buying space for them all over the ice.
Yeah, Sammy is dangerous not just when he has a puck on his stick, but like when he's searching for contact. Like, you know, when he's out there, if you're on the opposition and you're going back for pucks, you got to have your head on a swivel because the 79 train is coming and he's looking to inflict pain legally, of course. And like,
well, as legally as possible.
Exactly. He's someone too that, like, I didn't know this about him before he joined the Abbotsford Canucks. Like, he'll chirp fans to get himself engaged. Like, in the opposition's rink, obviously. Yeah, like, right. He will chirp fans behind the bench, along the glass, anywhere, and it just feels like it fires him up, and he's one of their emotional leaders. Sometimes he can kind of get carried away. Like, at one point, he had, like, over 40 penalty minutes over a three-game span in the playoffs. He's kind of calmed it down since. Obviously, got some more time in the box tonight, but just someone that's an absolute weapon in a lot of facets of the game.
And one of my favorite parts about, you know, you talking about him chirping on the ice is, at least his English has gotten so much better since when I played with him as a rookie his first year in the American League. He had me cracking up because half the time he had no idea what was coming out, but he knew it was coming with a lot of anger, and he knew he was trying to get in. And, you know, just seeing that all these years later, that passion's still there. He knows what makes him a good player, and he has to do it to get himself in. But not only just making sure that he's ready to go and giving the most for his team, like I said before, like, you can see the other guys getting stronger, tougher because of him. They know that he's bringing it every single night. He's clearly, you know, playing through a lot right now because he's, you know, he went down the tunnel tonight. He had to go down the tunnel in game two as well. Like, there's different parts to it, but every time he steps on, it's maximum effort once again, and there's so much respect to show for that.
Well, they don't call it an Artie party for no reason. I mean, the level of reception that Artur Shilaz receives, I mean, even when his name gets announced skating out onto the ice, he has rock star status here in Abbotsford, doesn't he?
Sad. He doesn't have to pay for a drink when he goes back home to Latvia, and I don't think he's going to be paying for a drink out here in Abbotsford anytime soon. He is definitely the one guy the fans rally around. Like, even back in the regular season, they're chanting his name, and obviously now at this point in the playoffs, like, it happens a lot throughout the course of a game, and rightfully so. I mean, he allows one early, kind of a weird one. He was lunging up to get it, and Okuliar kind of knocked it down in front, and he settled down after and made every save the rest of the way. And I interviewed him in the hotel where we just were in North Carolina.
Between one fern, yes, between
Charlotte,
one fern.
Yeah, between one houseplant. And I asked him about the support, and you can just kind of see it in his eyes. Like, he really appreciates it. There's a lot of fans around Canuck Nation, no matter where they live. They love Artur Shilovs. He's someone that you know what he's going to bring every single night. He's a competitor, which Manny Malhotra loves the most, and it just kind of oozes through the entire lineup. Like, for a defenseman, it's got to feel good to see 31 and green back there, and 21 starts in a row after his season high was 3 in the regular season. His body's been able to hold up, and hopefully he's still got a couple more in him.
Well, and if you think about it, too, in the bigger picture of his last 12 months, he gets thrown into the playoff series or playoff run for Vancouver last year and does a great job handling and taking on that pressure. While Demko gets hurt in the summer, all of a sudden he's got a really good chance to make the team out of camp, and it doesn't go his way in training camp. He's fighting the puck a little bit. You could almost sense that he saw the opportunity and he's like, I have to be so good. I have to make sure this happens. And it was like, you know, sometimes it doesn't matter even just in hockey. Like, you try too hard at something, you make it worse. And then he comes back to Abbotsford, and he just goes back to work. He doesn't let it affect him. He doesn't let it dwell on it. He goes through, and now he's got himself to this point where, yeah, the fans are chanting his name, and that's awesome. Good for him. But you can see the look of and how the players in front of him react to it. Like, they know that, you know, just like game one, in game one he let in two of the three that, you know, he would have liked back. And this one was a bit weird tonight, but it was the exact same feeling of those go in and right away you can tell he's done for the, like, he's not letting anything else in. He's got all the confidence in the world to make that happen.
And just a quick side note, so we were flying home a couple days ago out of Charlotte, North Carolina. Lando and I jump on the plane, and he was already sitting down with Justin Pogge, Lando's old roommate in Germany. They played together, reviewing the tape before Lando could even grab an egg burrito. Like, he was already wanting to get better, and I keep hearing Manny mention how much he takes his craft seriously, and I was just like, wow, like, they just lost an overtime game, and before everyone's even on the plane, he's sitting next to his goaltending coach and wanting to know what areas he could improve in, and it definitely worked, whatever he saw on tape.
I felt like tonight was a big game for Abbotsford, like, in the context of the whole series. Charlotte hasn't had to have big travel during these playoffs, so this is kind of a first big trip for them, even though they've been really good on the road. Just felt like, you know, for home ice advantage, this was one where you really would feel the advantage more as the Abbotsford team. And so getting this one is going to help them forward in the series. But I think now, you know, Charlotte's going to come back a little bit stronger in game four, and you got to keep your game up.
Yeah, you have to expect that they're going to have a way better start next game, just like they did in game one and two for Charlotte. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, Abbotsford was so good tonight.
Especially in the third.
But you could feel it building through the game. Even when it was, you know, 1-0 Charlotte, you knew the game wasn't done. Abbotsford felt like they were in control. We kept saying it on the broadcast in the first intermission as well, is like, we know they're down one right now, but, like, they're in the driver's seat here. And that's what I've been most impressed with this Abbotsford run, is even when they get themselves into trouble, there's no panic in it. They just stick to their game. They know that if they keep going for as close as they can to a full game effort, more times than not, they're going to end up on the right side. They have that, no quit attitude, if that's a cliche you want to use, or whichever one you want to throw in there. But you could just see that they weren't going to be denied tonight. And knowing next game that Charlotte's going to have another big push, but at, like you said in the lead into this question, like, they proved to themselves tonight that, they can't, they're not just going to hang around in the series. Not saying it's going to be another blowout by any means. I expect it to be a really tight game next game.
Yeah.
But they've shown that we can take over. We just got to keep the pedal down. The biggest thing, their breakouts got so much better tonight. Yeah. They didn't spend nearly as much time in their own end. That gives a bit of a break to the D. It also lets the forwards get a bit more of the good feeling going. They're not always, a puck turns over, they got to skate back, and that's their shift. Nothing really happens. Tonight, they got to get into the offensive zone, have some fun with it. Doesn't matter if it's the first game of the year or a Calder Cup final. Playing with the puck in the offensive zone and working around with your line mates, like, that's fun hockey to play.
And boys, like, they are a good team when they have the lead. And at Bojangles, they only led for 3 minutes and 30 seconds. So when Carlson got the go-ahead goal in the third, you can kind of just see, like, a sense of relief. And they're not a team that's going to sit back and try to protect a lead. They're looking for the third. They're looking for a fourth. And sure enough, they put up 6 total. So that's definitely something they can kind of build off of going forward. And their third periods have been the best out of any team in these playoffs. They were a plus 12 going into the third tonight. You can add 5 more goals to that. They're plus 17 and didn't give up any in the third as well. So we'll see if they can pick up right where they left off in game number 4, but easier said than done.
We'll leave you with this, gentlemen. Phil in Nanaimo. Love the announcers calling the game for the Abbey Canucks, keeping me on the edge of my seat the entire night. Gentlemen, great stuff on the call, great stuff on the post-game roundtable, and we'll chat with you guys on the pregame show on Thursday and also on the postgame show, and a lot of fun looking forward to the next 2 broadcasts here on Thursday and Saturday, boys.
That's my burner. I'm Phil.
Yeah, I love it.
See you, boys. Thanks for having us.
That is Brandon Astle and Landon Ferraro doing a great job on the call. The Abbotsford Canucks with a 6-1 victory over the Charlotte Checkers to take a 2-1 series lead in the Calder Cup Final. Keep your thoughts coming into our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. You can also grab a phone line, 604-280-0650, or toll-free, 1-888-275-0650. More of the Canucks Central postgame show, and your reaction is next on the home of your Canucks, Sportsnet 650.
This is Abbotsford Canucks Hockey on the home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650.
Carrick, who's yet to record a point in this series after getting 50 in the regular season, dumps it in, rolls towards Shelovs, and he'll get it to center for DiGiuseppe. He's got Lekkomäki 2-on-1 at the hurry. DiGiuseppe shoots, scores! PDG 4-1 Abbotsford!
Yippee!
What an unbelievable rush up the ice. It starts with Shelovs shooting it up. I believe that'll be his second assist of the playoffs so far. DiGiuseppe picks it up between his legs. He starts looking to Lekkomäki, who's with him on the 2-on-1, decides, you know what? This one's all me. Throws it just under the bar, high on the blocker side. 4-1, 6:41 left in the third.
They go on to win 6-1. The Abbey Canucks over the Charlotte Checkers, taking a 2-1 series lead in the Calder Cup Final. And you know why Phil DiGiuseppe scored? Because my guy Dan Riccio is in the building. It's Satyar Shah and Dan Riccio. And anytime Dan Riccio is live and in person while watching Phil DiGiuseppe, he does something of note. Yeah. And this time comes up with a goal. And I knew fast Eddie Gregory, who's back on the boards, would have that clip right.
Deej with just an absolute snipe on the breakaway as well. You love to see it. Phil DiGiuseppe doing the work for this Abbotsford Canucks team. 6th goal of the playoffs, and what a third period it was, man. I mean, the crowd in here was just unbelievable all night, whether it was a Charlotte penalty and them yelling shame at all the Charlotte players, or the Artie chants, the Sammy chants. Yeah. It was just a really great atmosphere, and I know Tatiana is texting in at 650 and being like, I wish I could go to the next two games after this one, but they are sold out, so it's gonna be tough. Don't know if they'll keep selling standing room only, but that's the only way you're getting into the building is if something opens up.
I think this was as big a crowd as they've had for a hockey game in this building, and you know, you're adding standing room seats, and great vibe, electric in the building tonight. It really was. I can totally understand for the fans who were here watching the game how you want to be back for more, whether it's Thursday or Saturday, the final one being Saturday that gets played here this season, and whether with the Abbey Canucks and how they've gone, I mean, they have a chance to close out this series on home ice. Not to say it's going to happen, but the fact you've taken that 2-1 series lead, you have that opportunity now, and that makes it so exciting for this Abbey team that's on this incredible run here in the postseason. And keep your reaction coming into our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. We'll take your phone calls coming up in a moment as well, 604-280-0650, or toll-free 1-888-275-0650. We'll take you here to the top of the hour and chat everything about this Abbey Canucks team. And, you know, Sammy Blais getting so much love. This one here says, give Sammy Blais 8x8 now, sign him. And others saying, you know, when I'm watching Sammy Blais play, like New West Nick says, I can't see how Blais could not be an effective bottom six forward next year for an NHL team. That is New West Nick. The question is he going to be plying his trade for the Canucks organization next year, or is he going to get a chance with somebody else? But he is going to get a chance based on the playoffs he had and the physicality he's had to earn a spot in some training camp next season. And it will be really fascinating to see if the Canucks are that organization.
It is going to be. I think Blais is, throughout this entire postseason run, has put on display what he can do potentially for an NHL team. You know, I know the injury he had before signing this ATO with Vancouver and coming over here, signing a contract with Abbotsford, really affected him. And so, you know, I think he had a harder start than he may have wanted coming into the year, but you're seeing him at his best. He's a nasty player. He's a rat out there. He's just a constant, constant pest with a big body and a heavy kind of game that's always under the skin of the opponent. So, yeah, a lot of teams are going to want that kind of a player, but I think he's going to have to really have a really impressive offseason to set him up to gain that pace that he lost from the injury, maybe, to get back to that NHL-level pace, because if you're going to see him take that next step and get back to that level, I think that's ultimately what he's going to need.
Yeah, and he does a great job of closing on guys at this level. Yeah. He can do it at the... Now, he showed in the past that he has, and the biggest thing for him was obviously the knee injury, and it took him, you know, a while to get over it, but it's going to be interesting to see where he's going to get that chance, but he's become an absolute fan favorite in this building.
Oh,
I mean, fans are chanting Sammy every time he... I mean, he doesn't even have to complete a hit. He just has to go after somebody, and they're going to be chanting his name.
Any hit that he threw, like any forecheck he was on, anytime he was chirping the team, chirping the opposition from the bench. I mean, the fans here in Abbotsford, you know, especially those that are here regularly, really, they've grown to like Sammy Blais quite a bit.
This one here says, I'm not surprised Sat likes Abby so much. The players are like all 6 feet plus. Demko's knee bones texting it. I mean, it's not wrong necessarily. They have a lot of size. They do play hard. But, you know, we talk a lot about coaching. That's a big part of it too, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, one player who's getting a lot of love, and, you know, I don't want to play into your Italian favoritism too much, but I kind of have to with Victor Mancini. I mean, Tiny Tim says, best trade the Canucks made this year, including Mancini in the Miller trade. What a player. Miller who? That's Tiny Tim. And also one from Chris in Maple Ridge. Vittorio, the freight train Mancini, every game showing us more and more great-looking additions. So Chris and Tiny Tim very excited about Victor Mancini. And when we're here watching him, it's very easy to understand why fans are excited about Mancini.
He is so impressive at this level. And I mean, he showed it at times even with the Vancouver Canucks as well. There's so much to like about his game. The size and speed and skill that he possesses as a defenseman is really impressive, especially for a guy that was a later round pick that wasn't drafted as an 18-year-old to an NHL team. And I think it's really interesting how Manny, it feels like Manny has given him a green light. Like, hey, if you've got ice, take it.
Mm-hmm.
because there's multiple occasions where he will rush the puck and he really put Charlotte on their heels for a time. There's still a lot of development that needs to happen there, but he's an extremely young player, especially from a pro perspective, with a lot of tools that obviously, you know, were a big reason why the Canucks targeted him as part of the return for JT Miller.
When you watch his skills and his tools, they're all NHL quality skills and tools. It's all the other parts that's mm-hmm. going to determine what caliber a defenseman is. I think based on what we've seen, he's going to be an NHL player. It's just, are you going to be a depth guy, or are you going to be able to play up a lineup? And that, yeah. a lot of that's going to come down to defensive recognitions and understanding how to win positional battles, but also where to be and recognizing threats. For instance, the first goal that I get scored, him and Breezeball are on the ice defending, and it's Breezeball's turnover, but neither guy covers the yeah. right guy in front of the net. It's like those are the little things that he's going to have to figure out.
Mistake compounded.
Right. Yeah, and if he figures those things out, you can see how tantalizing it is, right? But those are the things that he has to work on. But a lot of positivity with what we've seen from Victor Mancini.
We were talking to Chris Peters, prospect guru here on Press Row here at the Abbotsford Center. He's in town to check out the Calder Cup Finals. And I was saying to him, like, it feels to me like his value as a prospect has gone up quite a bit since coming over from New York, and he very much agreed. It's just been a better situation for Victor Mancini to really showcase his abilities as a player.
Yeah, certainly. We'll try to get back to the phone, the text message inbox in a moment, but let's go to the phone boards. 604-280-0650 or toll free 1-888-275-0650. A 6-1 Abbey Canucks victory over the Charlotte Checkers to take a 2-1 series lead in the Calder Cup final. A cup might finally be coming home to BC with how the Abbey Canucks have been going here in this postseason. Let's start things off in Harrison Hot Spring, where we have Albs on the line. Albs, thanks for calling in. What do you have for us tonight after a big Abbey Canucks win?
Well, this franchise has been through so much, you know, on both levels. And for the first time, it seems like, you know, this is destiny. So if all things can complete, hopefully at home, in Abbotsford, the Calder Cup will be coming to the Lower Mainland.
We certainly hope so, man. Alves, thanks for the phone call. I appreciate the thoughts. And, you know, getting a lot of that, people texting in about, you know, Matt the Flower delivery guy in Surrey. Is it possible that the only cup coming back to Canada is coming to Abbotsford? It's possible because they need two more victories to get there. But, like Kobe Bryant once said, the job's not done. You still have to win two more games.
Still two more.
You still have to finish the job here, but it is exciting that you are getting a lot closer to being able to do that.
It really is, and you know, I mentioned it on the roundtable. Adam in Genoa Bay makes a good point as well at 6:50. Do you think the time zones played a bit of a factor? Abby dominating, especially after 11 p.m. local for Charlotte. And, yeah, I mean, the game really turned for Abbotsford, especially as it went on later into the second period and certainly in the third where they scored five unanswered. And I think that was a big advantage for them tonight. You know, Charlotte hasn't had a lot of travel being on the Eastern Conference. Western Conference, we know that's a much different story. Abby, long trips to Texas, long trips to Colorado, different time zones. They're used to it a little bit more. And Charlotte just hasn't had that. They haven't had any long series.
They played seven fewer playoff games. So
they won eight in a row until Abbey won game one of the series.
Well, Abbey needed some advantage because they've had a far tougher schedule and played more games than Charlotte has. So you could say it almost evened out a little bit tonight.
And I think that you know, advantage of now having traveled time zones previously in this playoff, I think helped them in this game. That advantage is going to be mitigated a little bit more in game four and in game five with the series staying here for games four and five. But they showed a gear tonight that I don't think Charlotte saw in games one or two.
Yeah.
And that's something that is gonna be interesting to see how Charlotte counters that for the rest of the series too.
This was not a game. I mean, you look at the scoring, like 6-1 blowout. This did not feel like that type of game until they blew it open through the third.
Yeah.
You know, we were commenting on how it felt like perhaps another overtime game. Like, could this be the third straight overtime game between these two teams? There was a lot separating them, and then, you know, Abbotsford just kind of blew them out late. Let's take one more phone call here. We'll get back to some of your text messages. Let's go to Grand Prairie, where our friend Travis is on the line. Travis, good hearing from you, bud. What are your thoughts here after a 6-1 victory by the Abbotsford Canucks?
Hey, guys. How you doing tonight?
We're doing great, man.
Fantastic.
Yourself?
Fantastic.
Yeah, this is great. I thought the last time I talked to you would be the last time I was going to talk to you this year. So I'm so
glad.
So
do we. Yeah.
So having a production and hey, hats off to Brandon and Landon. Hey, they do a great job. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, hats off to them for their production and then you guys doing this, because like Al, the caller from Harrison Hot Springs, he's right. The Canuck fans, we've had a hard season, so to see the farm team find such success in the postseason, it's a little bit of not really a cherry on top, but a little bit of reprieve and some excitement for us, a little bit of hope at the end of the tunnel. And you guys just add to that. So tonight was great. Now, I am a Canucks fan living in Alberta, and so I live right in the thick of oil country. And I'm not one of those guys. I'm not a smack talker. I'm not a I told you so. But I'm actually really happy, just selfishly, because now I don't have to hear them for the next 12 months brag about it. And, yeah, they take shots at Canuck fans all the time.
Oh, yeah.
It's tough for me or my little son to wear a Canucks hat even or that. They seem very entitled. But they did win a cup, a lot of cups right away, so I get it. But I find the other fans sometimes obnoxious. And every single fan base has those kind of fans, including my beloved Canucks. But it just seems to be a larger percentage of Oiler fans seem to be kind of entitled. So I'm not going to rub salt in their wounds. I'm not going to smack talk any of them or ha ha ha. But I am secretly, I'm very happy because now we don't have to do it. And then, of course, with you guys doing the show, it's great. The Abbey Canucks look very, very good. Okay, thanks, guys.
You got it. Appreciate the phone call, Travis. Great stuff as always. And, you know, I think a lot of fans are sharing the same sentiment as Travis, saying much better listening to the junior Canucks shelling Charlotte than watching Edmonton choke in game six. Go, Canucks, go, is what one unsigned text message says.
I don't know if they choked as much as they just kind of like gave up.
Yeah.
That sounds awful, but
yeah,
they really looked deflated in some of the clips that we saw. But we were focused on Abbotsford tonight.
Yeah, we'll rip into the Oilers a bit tomorrow on Canuck Central and how they performed. Tatiana says, hey, Canada's going to get another cup next year when the PWHL Vancouver brings home the Walter Cup. Yeah, very well.
A lot of excitement. We had Kara Gardner-Morey on Canuck Central today. You can find that on the podcast, talking about some of the really exciting signings that squad has had. But John and West Kelowna, nice to hear you guys this time of day again. Evening,
yeah. It's part of a day.
It is, yes. That's fair. I wonder if anyone in November could have pictured Artie turning things around like he has. Artie parties are the best. One of a few feel-good stories of the baby Canucks giving some hope to the big club. Thanks for doing the post-game show. Yeah, I mean, Shelob's, look, an AHL run does not guarantee that he's back on the same trajectory for more NHL games. The Canucks, as far as I'm concerned, you know, that they're locked into Demko and Lankinen as their starting tandem for next year, but you never know what could happen. And the biggest thing for Artie is he's rebuilding his own confidence and rebuilding the confidence that he once had within the organization as well, with how well he's played here in Abbotsford. And, you know, he was stellar. He was solid all night tonight. He, you know, they defended so well, he didn't have to make too many big, huge saves, but when they did call him into action, he was there to make the stop.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, and that's the thing. It's about how well they play as a team, but he's made the stops that have been needed, and that's why they've made the run they have made. Ryan and Abby says, please give Jet Wu, OG Abby Canuck his flowers, and Lekromäki look good tonight. As Ryan and Abby, Lekromäki drawing back into the lineup. Had a couple of good shifts. Like, there were moments where I liked what he did, and you can also see some other moments where he needs to get a little bit stronger and a little bit quicker, but it was a positive showing, I thought, from Lekromäki as well. And Jet Wu was physical, winning puck battles, sacrificing the body, doing a lot of things that you wanted to see from him as well.
Both from Burnaby. Kirill is playing like a poor man's Dan Hamhuis with his stick checks and hip checks. Yeah, he's a fun player out there, getting that hip check going. Kirill Kudryavtsev. It was interesting. You know, Guillaume Brisebois didn't play much of the later stages of the game, so Abbotsford did have to go down to 5D. But they handled it well, and they were able to make the best of being down to 5D for much of the night.
All right, we got to take one more phone call because we have to go down under. We got to go to Sydney, Australia.
For an Abbey post game.
Yes, for an Abbey post game. You know, the Canucks Nation, they are excited. I mean,
worldwide.
And it goes worldwide. Prestige worldwide, the Abbey Canucks version. Let's go to Tony in Sydney, Australia. What's going on, Tony? What are your thoughts here after a big Abbey Canucks win?
Hey, Sad. Hey, Dan. It's Tommy from Sydney.
Tommy. Tony. So it said Tony on the phone board. I thought it was Tommy because I'm like, if somebody calls us from Sydney, it's not Tony. It's Tommy. It has to be Tommy.
Man, it is. And so, look, I'll let you know, it's a beautiful Wednesday afternoon here. I was able to listen to the call at work. And I tell you, there's a touch of Brendan Batchelor about that young Brandon Astell. He's got the excitement. He's going places, that one. I'm actually pulled over on the side of the road in the Sydney suburb of Abbotsford. So it's all coming together.
Oh, wow.
Just wanted to say, man, I'm loving the run the Abbey Canucks are having. The way Manny is managing that team, he's building them up. He's really got that dressing room dialed in. There's a lot that the senior franchise can look at here in Abbotsford and say, gosh, that's something we can do with our team and really make it great. But, man, I was in Abbotsford in March when we were visiting. Beautiful place. Cannot wait to see it adorned with the Calder Cup. Go, Abby, go!
I love it. Great stuff. Tommy calling in from Sydney, Australia, fired up about the Abbey Canucks and where these guys have been going. So it's good to see, man. It's good to see Canucks fans being fired up.
Love that. All the way in Abbotsford, Australia, coming across the ocean and talking about the Abbotsford Canucks. It's pretty brilliant. Canucks fans, they don't know bounds.
No, they don't. And I think that's been super exciting for a lot of Canucks fans. I mean, Justin, an East fan, says, overrated, underrated. Post-game shows in June. I'd say underrated.
Underrated. And, of course, overrated, underrated coming tomorrow on Canucks Central.
Yeah, so get your submissions in tomorrow. Reach is going to put out a tweet, and you can respond to it on X and even send in your questions for overrated, underrated on the Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. Thanks to all the kind words. Rosie texting in, Jeremy in Abbotsford, Griffin Cloverdale for us having the postgame show. A lot of fun here tonight. We're back here on Thursday to do the pregame and the postgame. Same thing coming up on Saturday. Abbey Canucks, a 2-1 series lead in the Calder Cup final. Any final thoughts here before we go out into the evening?
It was a brilliant night, a great crowd here in Abbotsford, and an incredible game from the local club. They've really got people believing in what they could do. Two more wins to get it done.
Yeah, you know, and a lot of Canucks fans came, David from Kelowna drove over to watch this game.
Wow.
And, you know, Canucks fans are fired up, right? And,
yeah,
you know, this is something to get excited about, and this Abbey Canucks team has not let you down this postseason. Great stuff. I appreciate all your thoughts, your listening, participating. Always a pleasure chatting hockey with you, and I can't wait to do this again on Thursday. But first things first, we got a show tomorrow, Canucks Central, 4 to 6. And like Reach mentioned, overrated, underrated, plus Kevin Woodley, who was here in person and we watched the game with. And we'll break this all down with Kevin Woodley again tomorrow.
Yeah, Woodley is going to give us more of the technical side of how good Artur Shilovs has been for this Abbey team.
Yes, and I know though people are texting in, all you media guys are ridiculous. You wrote off Artie. Now you're on the bandwagon again. Just because he's good now doesn't mean he's going to be great in the NHL. But give him credit how he's played. Don't have to get into these games.
Yeah.
Doesn't have to. I told you he's good. I told you he sucks. Enjoy the moment. We'll see what happens in the offseason. But Artur Shilovs, fantastic. We'll talk more about it tomorrow. Thank you all for listening. I'm Satara Shaw. He's Dan Riccio. Special thanks to Josh Elliott Wolf and Fast Eddie Gregory back at the studio. I'm Brandon and Landon for the call. You've been listening to the Canucks Central Postgame Show on the home of your Canucks, Sportsnet 650.